Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. This is the reading of God's word. Do not judge, so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing of your word. Oh Father, bless the person who is preaching. Let him preach according to your will. And bless all of us who are hearing of your word. Let us have the understanding so that we may know your will. That we may see Jesus Christ and meet him through your word and have fellowship with him even as we hear your word. Bless your people and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We'll begin chapter 7 today. Verses 1 and 2, do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Do not judge. The favorite verse for those who sin without repentance. The favorite verse for those who are against the church discipline. Even some non-Christians use this verse to justify their sins. Do not judge, they say. Is our God, through this verse, forbidding all judging of any kind? John chapter 7 verse 24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There, actually, God says to judge. Even in the same chapter, in this chapter 7 of Matthew, if we go down to verse 15, it says, beware of the false prophets, who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Beware of the false prophets. And it says, you will know them by their fruits. How can we do this if we don't judge? And verse 6 that we read this morning, it says, do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine. In order for us to obey this verse, we must judge who are dogs and who are pigs. Actually, in order for us to obey the teachings of the Sermon on the Mount, we must make decisive judgments. Making judgments is required. If you go to Matthew 18, let us go there together. Very important verse or verses for concerning church discipline. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he does not listen to you, take one or two more with you, so that by the mouth of two or three witnesses, every fact may be confirmed. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as Gentiles and a tax collector. Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. God actually commands us to judge. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 and 13 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. We must be able to judge what is good and what is evil. Thus, we cannot and must not understand this verse in the way this sinful world understands it. One of the most popular words for today is the word tolerance. Of course, being tolerant in certain cases is proper. But so many times the word tolerance is used as allow sin, accept sin. See, do not judge. Allow sin. Tolerate alternative lifestyle. Well, allow sin. And God is not saying that through this verse. We must judge between the truth and the lie. We must judge between good and evil. Well then, what is our God saying to us through this? Do not judge. Well, verses 3 through 5 gives us a hint. It says, why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. God calls these people hypocrites. So here, do not judge. It means that judgment there is hypocritical judgment or self-righteous judgment. Seeing a speck in others' eyes, but not noticing a log that is in his or her own eye. I mean, if you picture this, this is pretty funny. A log is really big. Criticizing and being judgmental of others when in fact he or she is worse than them. This is a life of hypocrites, a life that was of Pharisees. And you and I, we are called not to be like these people. Luke chapter 18. Let's go there together. Luke chapter 18. I'm going to read from verse 9. And he also told this parable to some people who trusted in themselves. See, Jesus told this parable to those people who were making these self-righteous judgments upon others. People who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and was praying this to himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I pay tithe of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." James chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "Do not speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge of it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you who judge your neighbor?" The law says to love our brothers and sisters, and not to do so is to speak against the law and judging the law. Let's go to Romans chapter 2. Let me read to you from verse 1. "Therefore you have no excuse, every one of you, who passes judgment. For in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you suppose this, O man, when you pass judgment on those who practice such things and do the same yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God." Of course, these verses are speaking of non-believers, but we do learn that if we judge others and do the same thing ourselves, what are we doing? Are we really better than others? Do you think that's how God sees you? These Jews at the time because they think that they have received the law of God and that they thought that they were obeying those laws. These Jews, they judge others with self-righteousness. But actually, they're the one who will be judged by God. You and I, brothers and sisters, we are the doers of the law, not the judge who condemns. Only God is able to do that. Romans chapter 14, verse 10 through 12. But you, why do you judge your brothers? Or you again, why do you regard your brothers with contempt? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God, so then each one of us will give an account of himself to God. Isaiah 65, verse 4 and 5, who sit among graves and spend the night in secret places, who eat swine's flesh and the broth of unclean meat is in their pots, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am holier than you. These are smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. In this sense, we must not judge. We must not judge someone's motives. We must not attempt to interpret the desires of others' hearts. You and I, we are not God. We cannot look into someone's heart. We must not suspect or doubt others' motives. Only God does. That is why whenever the session interviews someone, the session accepts what he or she says at the face value. The session's job is not to judge your motives or look into your heart, but we have to accept what you say. The session accepts whatever members say until they prove to it otherwise. Let's say someone come and lie to the session. It is amazing how God works, so that lie will be exposed. But until they prove that what they say is a lie, we have to accept whatever they say at their face value. We are not to judge their motives. See, a lot of people think when we have membership interview, they think that session is doing what? They think session is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's trying to see whether that person is Christian or not, truly saved or not. But that is not what the session is doing. Only God knows who is saved or not. What session is doing is to see if your confession is biblical or not. That's what session is doing. And whatever you say, whatever you confess, session will take at face value until you prove to us that you were lying. And some people do that later. They do prove it, that they were lying. Only God knows the heart. See, you could lie to the people, but you cannot lie to God. Proverbs 16, verse 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7b, for God sees not as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. As we consider hypocritical judgment, we are reminded of King David. You know the story, so I'm not going to tell you in a long way here, but you know, he commits an adultery with Bathsheba and has her husband killed. And even after that, Nathan comes to him and confronts him with his sins. And this is what we read. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I'm going to read from verse 1. Remember, David committed adultery with Bathsheba and has her husband killed. Chapter 12, verse 1, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. He would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom, and was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who has come to him. Then David's anger burned greatly against the man. See, David is very angry when he heard this. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing and had no compassion. Nathan then said to David, you are the man. Now here, remember that Nathan, who is confronting David of his sin, is not doing anything wrong. He's actually doing a proper thing. We are called to do that. We're not talking about not helping people when they're sinning. We are to love that brother or sister. We need to go to that person and let them know that what they're doing is sin. But we need to do that with love. But saying to a brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when there is a log in his or her own eye, that is wrong. But read again the verse 5. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. See, taking out the speck from your brother's eye is a good thing. You need to do that. But we must do that after we take out the log in our own eyes. After examining our own selves. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 31 says, but if we judged ourselves rightly, we will not be judged. We must examine ourselves first. We must manage our sins first. Then we must help others with grace and mercy and love. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Verse 2 says, "For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you." You must take this verse very seriously. We're so harsh toward others. And yet when we sin, we think it very lightly. Do you really want to be judged by the standard of measure you use in judging others? Luke chapter 6, verse 36 through 37, "Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged, and do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned." Use the measurement of mercy. Use the measurement of love. Romans chapter 14, verse 1, "Now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions." Our purpose is not to expose sins of others, but 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins." Did you hear that? Love covers a multitude of sins. When Adam and Eve sinned, Satan's purpose was to expose their sins. But God covered their sins. God covered their shame. And this is the mind of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important." Regard one another as more important or better than yourselves. Our Lord Jesus Christ, it was said about him in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3 and 4, "He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth." We are called to live the same life. We are called to be like him. And we come to verse 6. "Do not give what is holy to dogs, and do not throw your pearls before swine, or they will trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces." Things that are holy. It's compared to pearls here. And in Matthew chapter 13, verse 46, a pearl represents the kingdom of God. The gospel of the kingdom of God, the truth that we find in the Bible, these are the holy things. The kingdom of God that the gospel offers is pearl. And we are not to give things that are holy. We are not to give pearls to dogs and pigs. And who are they? Who are dogs and pigs? Well, simply put, the ones who do not accept the gospel, even after many opportunities to hear it. And those people who, even after hearing it, persecute those who believe. We share the gospel, but up to a point. Why? This verse says, the reason why we share the gospel up to a point. Because, the first, they will trample them under their feet. So even as we share the gospel to them more and more, they continue to trample them under their feet. We making them sin more. And second, it says they will turn and tear you pieces, tear you to pieces. Sometimes it will go to a point where they will physically hurt you because you preach the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 14. Alexander, the coppersmith, did me much harm. The Lord will repay him according to his deeds. Be on guard against him yourself, for he vigorously opposed our teaching. So in this case, this Alexander, who vigorously opposed Paul's teaching. Do you think Paul is telling Timothy to go to him and preach the gospel to him? Or is Paul saying, be on your guard? Titus chapter 3, right next to it. Titus chapter 3, verse 10. Reject a factious, well, other translation, reject a divisive man. Or, King James says, reject a heretic. Reject a factious man after a first and second warning, knowing that such a man is perverted and is sinning, being self-condemned. There's a heretic, and you tell the gospel, true gospel, once or twice, and he still doesn't receive. Well, reject him. Now, obviously, we're not saying you count how many times you do it, and you go do twice and just stop. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Let us go there. Matthew chapter 10, verse 14. Whoever does not receive you, nor heed your words as you go out of that house or that city, shake the dust off your feet. Truly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Go to chapter 13, verse 57. And they took offense at him. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and in his own household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. So even Jesus Christ in this certain city, he didn't do much miracles. Acts chapter 13. Verse 44. The next Sabbath, nearly the whole city assembled to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began contradicting the things spoken by Paul and were blaspheming. Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly and said, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken to you first, since you repudiate it, and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we are turning to to the Gentiles. So even in the history of redemption, the gospel was preached to Jews first, but they rejected. And now they go to Gentiles. Chapter 18, verse 5. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshiper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Brothers and sisters, I don't want you to misunderstand here. We are to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ends of the world. We are to do that with love, with long suffering, with patience. But when some people are proven to be dogs and pigs, then we are not to give what is holy to them. We are not to throw our pearls before them. Oh yes, in the most cases, this will take a long time. And with love, we continue to preach the gospel, continue to share the gospel. Before we end, I want you to realize something here. As you read that verse 6, I want you to realize this. Did God give you what is holy? Did God throw His pearls before you? How did and how does God treat you? God did not and He does not and He will never treat you as dogs and pigs. Actually, we are worse than dogs and pigs, and yet God gave His pearls to us. And through the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, He made you the citizens of His kingdom. And you are called to live the life that belongs to that kingdom. So brothers and sisters, let us first take the log out of our own eyes. Then you and I will be able to see clearly to take the speck out of our brothers and sisters' eyes. We thank God that He does not treat us as pigs and dogs. Let us encourage one another. Let us pray for one another. Let us pray for one another's sanctification in Jesus Christ. And when that day comes, when we will no longer have any logs in our eyes, when we no longer see any specks in our brother's eye, when we see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face without sin, we will be joy to one another, as our Lord Jesus Christ is our joy forever and ever. Let us truly love one another and pray for others' sanctification. And through your prayer, God will sanctify all of us. And when you see me in that glorious place, as you pray for me, as you pray for my sanctification, and when you see me in that glorious place as a perfect image of God, I will be joy to you. Because you will see how God has worked through your prayer. Brothers and sisters, that's the only thing you will have when you go there. Your joy is, of course, Jesus Christ, you know, our God, and your joy is one another. That's all. Let us take out the log from our own eyes. And let us help one another to be more and more like Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together as it is the habit of some. Oh yes, not assembling with church. It becomes habit of so many people. But encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Yes, you are the possessor of God and His kingdom. Possessor of the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us witness to the whole world that we are indeed His people. Citizens of that glorious place. To live the life that we have been looking at from the Sermon on the Mount. This wonderful, beautiful life. The heavenly life, the eternal life that our Lord has accomplished for us. This is how our life looks like. Here, you see who you are. What kind of person that God has made you to be. This is who you are. And this is how you live your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace, your love, your mercy. They are brand new every day. Oh, Father, how grateful we are for all your blessings, especially for your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, let us repent of our sins. Let us take out the log that we have in our own eyes, so that we may see clearly to help others take out specks in their eyes, so that together they will help one another to be more and more like Jesus Christ, to witness that indeed the salvation of God is come upon us, that we are the citizens and the people of our God. Bless your people, bless your church, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.